Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We would like to say Merry Christmas to everyone. We thank you for listening in today. We appreciate the opportunity. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we're located in Vilas, North Carolina. That's just outside the little town of Boone, and we'd love to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. And the first thing we want to do today, we want to welcome all of our visitors, listeners, and I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio today. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to our listeners. We do appreciate them. And we want to say Merry Christmas to them. And all our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we might have some different listeners today, it being Christmas, and of course, if you listen in on WZAP or KUPI, you'll be listening to this on the Saturday after Christmas. But we do welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and this is a two-part, this is the second part of a message. Now, the Lord gave me a message the week after the school shootings up in Newtown, Connecticut, and I was already planning on preaching from Matthew chapter number 2 anyway, but after that I got to praying and looking in the scripture again, and the Lord gave me a passage of scripture that is very fitting for what has just happened in our nation. And last week we played part number 1. This week we're going to give the conclusion to the message. I do want to read the scripture. The Word of God speaks to us today, right where we are. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem." You will notice there that there was a slaughter of children. The Bible said, "And in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Now I want to say what we preached or brought last week. This is a live message from the pulpit at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And the first thing we said in that message on weeping for our children, that was the title, we said there was no advance weeping for the children. They should have been forewarned. They should have known something like this was going to happen, because the Bible said then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, they already knew what the Word of God said. They should have been weeping in advance. And so we said that on last week. Then, second of all, in the message, we said there was no avail to their weeping. It said Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. They were weeping, they were crying, but that weeping, that crying, that great lamentation did not bring back one child. And then the third thing we said about or in the message was from Jeremiah chapter 31. And we said there's a new admonition in Jeremiah chapter 31 in verse number 22. The Bible said, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." And that's talking there about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the point to the message. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we have a new admonition. And that's what Christmas is all about. In Jeremiah 31, that's where we're going to pick up in the message today. We hope you enjoy it and get a blessing out of it. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week at this same time and on these same stations. Thank you once again for listening.
People, you know what? God will bring them back. God will bring them back. There's hope. That's what the Word of God says. There's real hope in the Bible. Verse 17, and there is hope in thine end, is what the Word of God says. I like that song we sung this morning, He Lives. I like that song we sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Christmas and what it really means to us this morning. Hey, you can take your Christmas lights down. I understand that. But don't take the nativity down. That's the only reason there's any hope for anybody. That's what it really means this morning. It's that little baby in a manger that was God manifested in the flesh. That God came to dwell among His people and die for our sins. And raise again the third day so that we could have eternal life. We cannot bring them back. There's no amount of weeping that'll bring a child back, but God can bring them back because He lives. I've had people ask me, well, what happens to babies when they die? What happens to little children when they die? What happens if there's a car accident? What happens to these little children? I'll tell you this morning what happens to children when they die. They go to heaven. That's what happens to children when they die. I had somebody ask me one time. I said, he was a Calvinist, just an extreme viewpoint on the thing. And he said, well, what if they were not one of the elect? Some people are so ignorant, it's hard to even answer them. What about David over there? David and Bathsheba, and they committed adultery, and it was wrong, and it's bad, and all that stuff, but she became a child, and when that little baby was born, the little baby was sick, and it tore the heart of David out. And he fasted, and he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't wash himself. And I can just imagine they had that little baby, the best doctors in the land coming in and the best nurses and anybody that could pray and everything. And I'm telling you, they's concerned about that little baby. And I can imagine David going down there for day only and holding that little baby's hand saying, God, please. God, if it be your will, let this child live. But the Word of God says that the little baby died. And the servants, they didn't want to tell David about the baby dying because of the way he'd been, and he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't wash himself, and he wasn't himself, and boy, they dreaded telling him. But you know what? They went and told David. He said, I'm going to get cleaned up. I'd like for somebody to make me something to eat. And they said, they didn't understand. They didn't understand why David could have such a change about him. And he said, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. He shall not return. He's all right. He's in heaven. David didn't say, well, if he wasn't one of, that's so foolish. He said, I can go to him. That's one child David never got no gray hairs over, and he knew exactly where that little baby was. He knew that little child was all right because he had died and went to heaven. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 verse 14 about the little children, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. There's a lot of little babies in heaven. There's a lot of little children in heaven. I'm telling you this morning, it's going to be all right with them. I know how people are. Well, they've been robbed. They'll never get to grow up. Hey, God is a just God, and God will make it right. They're not dead. Oh, they're not here with us, but it's not that they don't exist. It's not that they're gone forever. God is able to bring them back because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can walk up on the hill behind my house And I can look down over into our family cemetery. There's a cherry tree over there in the corner of that cemetery. Me and my brother and all our friends, we used to climb when we was little boys, and we used to pick the cherries out of that tree and just eat them till we about got sick. When I was a little boy, I never imagined, never entered my mind that one day I'd bury a little daughter right under that tree we used to play and climb and eat the cherries out of. And I was up there a while back, and I looked down into the graveyard, and I thought about her. But I said, God, she's not there. God, she's not there. She's in heaven. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll never worry about her. I worry about them other rascals I've got. But I don't worry about her. Praise God, she's all right. One day we'll meet again. Praise God, there's a new admonition from the Word of God about weeping for these children. But then I move on this morning. I know there's hope in verse number 17. There's hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Praise God. But there's a needed application in verse 18 and verse number 19. The Bible said over there, this is God speaking to the children of Israel about the slaughter of them children. What it all meant, why? Look what he said in verse 18. He said, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. This is what Ephraim said. Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. See, the context of this passage of Scripture is, it moves from weeping for the children. God said, refrain thyself for weeping for the children. And he goes on in what God says in this passage of Scripture, you ought to be weeping for yourself. And that's what they did. You look there in verse 18, he said, I've surely heard Ephraim, I underline this, bemoaning himself. That's who we need to be weeping for this morning. Bemoaning himself, and they are weeping for themselves and this chastisement that comes upon them, and that's what it is. He said, thus thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. That's how our nation is wild. We have got out from underneath God and just running wild. And you look what he said there, it's a prayer. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves until we come to the place to see our true condition. And he said in verse 18, he said, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. You can't even get right with God unless God helps you. And that's what they prayed for. Turn thou me. I have been chastised. God, we felt it. Down in our soul we felt it. God, would you turn us again? And then he said in verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. There was a turning back to God. There is a repentance over there, going away from God. But you listen, in our country, boy, if something don't change, it'll just be the same old thing. For all the chastening that our country has endured in the past 10 or 20 years, you know what they'll be talking about. They'll come along and say, now I'll tell you what we need to do about this. We need to have a real serious conversation about this. We need to get rid of the guns. That's what they're already talking about. Well, we need to get rid of guns. If we get rid of guns, we wouldn't have things like this. Well, let me tell you, a couple of weeks ago, after Thanksgiving, there's a 25-year-old young man. His name is Christopher Crum. He lived in Vernon, Connecticut. And after Thanksgiving, he took off and he drove all the way to the state of Wyoming where his father lived. This just happened. When he got there, I don't know how long he spent, but he went to his father's house, and his father had a girlfriend that lived with him, and he took a knife and he stabbed her to death in the front yard. Then he got in the car and he drove a couple of miles down to the community college where his father was a teacher. The young man took a bow and an arrow and shot his father in the head and killed him. And then he took a knife and killed his own self. Do we need to get rid of all the bows and arrows and all the knives? Would that stop people killing people? No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't stop a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. That same weekend in the NFL, the football, a football player named Javon Belcher, been drinking all night long, got up one morning, went and shot and killed his girlfriend. They had about a 5-month-old little baby together. He drove down to the training facility and got all his coaches together and shot himself in the parking lot. Bob Costas got on Sunday Night Football during halftime, and he told everybody if we didn't have guns, that wouldn't have happened. But you know, the very next weekend, the Dallas Cowboys, they had some players, and they'd been out drinking together. One of them players was driving the car, and they'd all been out drinking. Now they're drinking and driving. They're coming home after drinking, partying, and all that stuff. He hits a curb, flips the car, kills a football player named Jerry Brown for drinking and driving. Foolish. Totally unnecessary. Bob Costas didn't get on TV that night and say, well, to get rid of alcohol, well, to outlaw cars because people gets killed in cars. Why don't somebody just get on TV and tell the real truth? We've forsaken God. We've forgotten God. We put our fist up in the air to God, and we've snubbed God, and we've throwed God out of the school and out of the court and out of everything else, and that's what a problem is. Until we do something about that, nothing is going to change what happens in our country. Amen. Amen. That's what's wrong in our country. We have forsaken God. Some of you grew up in school. You never had anything like that. You didn't have to worry about taking your children to school and somebody coming in and killing all of them. But they prayed in school and they had the Bible and they had families that tried their best to stay together and love one another and do what was right. And it was a different time. Why don't somebody talk about that? Why don't somebody talk about putting all these children? Do you know the great majority, the great, great majority of these mass murders, these young people have been on mind-altering drugs, Ritalin and Prozac and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, that has an effect. Violent video games and all that kind of stuff. We as a nation have forsaken God. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 1? God said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. God said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. God said, because I tried and you wouldn't listen. Look what God said. I will laugh in your calamity, at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Read it when you get home. You want to know what's wrong with our country this morning? What the real problem is? I've carried this in my Bible for almost a year. It was in the newspaper Wednesday, December 21st, 2011. That's almost a year ago. And it's an article, and it said, "Woman upset about son receiving a Bible at school." Remember me telling you about that? The Gideons, them old mean Gideons. I don't know if anybody knows any of them, but them old Gideons. Well, you read this article, you know what they done? They took a box of Bibles down to an elementary school, left them in the office, and somehow this woman's son got one of them Bibles, and she got the American Civil Liberties Union involved in it. They said that school had stepped over the line. How dare them allow a box of Bibles in the principal's office? That woman said about it, "It's totally inappropriate. They think they can get away with this," she said. "It's absolutely unbelievable, and their attitude is ridiculous." You want to know what's wrong with our country? Stuff like that's what's wrong with our country. Oh, Lord, whatever you do, I mean, give them condoms and unlimited access to every evil, ungodly thing under the sun on the internet, but don't give them a Bible. Whatever you do, don't pray for them at a football game. Don't have no scriptures hanging around. Then when they die and go to hell, and when all the devil comes in and wrecks and ruins and destroys, everybody says, "Where was God? Why did God allow this to happen?" I've already heard people say that. Where was God in all this? Why did God allow this to happen? Look in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 8. I'm going to be done right here in a moment this morning. We'll find an answer to this thing. Where's God at? Why did God allow something like this to happen? I'm not going to read or preach through all of this, but Luke chapter number 8. Jesus is on a ship. He comes to the coast of Gadara. He gets off the boat. There's a man there that comes out of the tombs and meets him. The Bible said in Luke 8:27, when he went forth to land, he got off the boat. There met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. This man was demon possessed. Do you know these people still has devils today? Say, what's wrong with people that go? What's wrong with that boy that he'd go in and kill all them people? I'm telling you, he's full of the devil. Possessed with demons. That's the only way somebody could do something like that. This man in the scripture, nobody could do anything with him. He wear no clothes. What's that sound like? He wouldn't live among everybody else. He just hung out in the graveyard. Look around. Look around at how people do and dress and act. But he met the Lord. And Jesus saved him, cast the devils out of him. And when everybody came back and seen that man, the Bible said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Woo-hoo! For what Jesus can do. Nobody else could do anything with him. Praise God, he did. And there that fellow was. Saved him, cleaned him up, put the clothes on him. And then that man wanted to go with Jesus when he left. And Jesus said, "No, you can't go with me." He said, "Go home to thy friends. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee." Made a missionary out of him. Praise God. I'm telling you, that whole town should have been shouting and running and praising God over what Jesus done for that troublesome man that lived in their midst. But you know what they did? Jesus cast the devils out into the swine. The swine ran down the steep place into the lake, and they drowned in the water. You read on down, look at verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Did you see that? The Bible said there, and I underlined this in my Bible, the whole country said, "Get out of here. We don't want you. That's what the Bible says. The whole country came out. They should have been shouting and praising God, but the whole country came out and they said, "We don't want you here. This got into our pocketbook. This got into our money-making ability." They're mad over them swine. And they said, "We want you to leave." And did you see what the Bible said about him? See, the Lord Jesus is a gentleman. And they said, "We don't want you here." They besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. He didn't stay for dinner when they didn't want him. He got off the boat, went, dealt with that man full of devils. They came out there, told him to leave, and he got right back on that boat and left them. You don't want God? God will not stay around. You know what's happening in our country? The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. So if you don't have the Lord, I don't care what you do, you don't have safety. It's in the book of Proverbs. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, is what the Word of God says. Hey, where was God in all this? Hey, our country doesn't want God. So now we've come to the place we don't have Him. We don't have Him like we used to have Him, that's for sure. And the Lord Jesus Christ left. And let me tell you something today. If you don't think something exactly like that couldn't happen in sleepy little old Watauga County, North Carolina, you are delusional. Every elementary school in our county has children in it whose parents, no doubt, are in a mortal feud between each other. Broken homes, broken families, hating each other. Hey, it's already happened right down in Zionville. Love triangles and all this bunch of junk, people running around and broken homes and children all thrown and tossed to the wind and everything. And then you've got the college. Them people that's committed them crimes, a lot of them came. They said about this boy, Kit, that he was a genius. He's on the honor roll. He's what the world would hold up and say, look, we're proud of this fella. He's of our own making. He's exactly the boy that went out and committed this awful thing. It could happen here. It is past time in our country that we as God's people applied 2 Chronicles 7:14 and quit playing and being religious and really got down to being right with God. If my people, you know what, this morning, I don't know what the government will do about this, but I promise you this, it ain't going to do nothing. Whatever they do, they're not going to do nothing. Because the answer does not lie with the government. It does not lie with more money and more programs and more laws, but the answer does lie with us. Government can't do nothing, but you and I can. See, this is right in our lap as the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. That's what the Word of God says. Well, our hearts go out this morning and we wish there's something that we could do. You know there is, but it costs us something. And cost us something. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. You can hear this message online in its full at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And the message title is Weeping for Our Children. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org.